Okay.
Well, good morning. Well, let me pray to start this. Father, in Jesus' name, I boast of my infirmity that the power of Christ may dwell in me. And I pray, Lord, that what you've given me, Lord, I pray that I, through the power of the Holy Spirit, could convey it to all that are here and all that will hear this. Amen. It's Christmas time. It's that time of the year when, as little kids, we wanted lots of stuff. We really did. I mean, there was things that we had on our list. I used to post lists around my house, put them on the chimney and the fireplace and all over, you know, make the list. And some things you were okay with, but some things were at the top of the list. You really, really wanted them. You really, really wanted them. And I know there was a lot of things that I wanted before the one that I'm going to tell you about. But before I get into all that, I'm going to break this today into three parts. So I'm going to talk first about wanting things as children and try to recoup some of those feelings that we had as kids when we desired things. Because I think adulthood and the responsibilities and sometimes disappointments of adulthood sometimes just takes away from that childlike really desire to want things. I'm also going to talk about, the title of this, by the way, is Plateaus and Mountains. And I'm going to talk about life on a plateau spiritually. We're not really growing, we're not really doing a lot, but we're saved. And we're doing this and we're doing that and we're tithing and we're going to church and we're in a prayer group and we're such and such. That's all good. It's very good, in fact. But I'm going to talk about plateaus, and I'm going to talk about the topography of a plateau. Next, I'm going to talk about mountains. I'm going to talk about, that's kind of where the action is. It's where the action was for Moses. It was the action was for Abraham. And I believe it's where the action will be for us as well. I'll mention Moses and the Israelites at Mount Sinai. Then I'm going to talk about life on our mountain and what I believe is our highest call. And I'm going to say today unequivocally, I believe, from my point of view, John 14:11, which says, I and the Father are one. Those are the three things I'm going to talk about. And I want to kind of get you guys to use your imagination a little bit. And at first I was going to have you close your eyes, and I rehearsed this with my wife. She said, no, don't do that. They won't like it. They won't do it. They'll get all crazy. So if you want to, go ahead. I'm not going to, you know, nothing will happen to you. But if you want to shut your eyes, just imagine back to when you were a child, when you really, really wanted things. Because a lot of life is feeling. And it is an intellectual point A to point B. It's how we really feel about things. And I think the Holy Spirit allows us to feel things that we otherwise wouldn't want to feel or wouldn't necessarily feel. But going back to when I was a kid, I know there was things before this that I wanted, but most important at age 11 was a BB gun. It was a Daisy Eagle. And by God, I got it. I got that gun. It was something that I really, really wanted, and I got it for Christmas. The next thing that I really, really wanted that I could remember as I put this word together was a Cushman Eagle. And that was a motor scooter. It was an 8-horsepower motor scooter, very popular back in the Midwest through the 50s. It looked like kind of like a big Harley, but it was a small little scooter. It was really cool. And I went around my house for 2.5 years going boom, 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 shifting gears. My dad, I finally just drove my parents insane. They finally said, you know, get the kid the bike, get him the scooter. I finally just broke him down. The next thing that I really, really, really wanted as a kid was to play on the varsity basketball team. And I, at night, and this was in, of course, in Detroit, and I practiced all year round. Shoveled snow, went out in 20-degree weather with gloves on. Had a little transistor radio, put it on the hood of my mom's car and played basketball, by myself. Anyway, practice, went around for years, seemed like going like this to stretch my hands so I could palm the ball. But I really, really wanted that. It was extremely important, and I did make the team and did fairly well. The next thing in my life that was extremely important for me to want was to really, really, really want. I'm emphasizing really, really, really because I want you guys, I'm going to challenge you guys to think about what do we want now for the body of Christ? What do we want personally? Where do we want to go individually, corporately, all this? What do we want? So I'm challenging, I'm listing all these things in order to kind of bring us back to remembering when all of us wanted things and some of those things we did achieve and some of those things we did get. So it was 1977. I was working for a company out of New York. I was traveling like Jeff. I was traveling 32 weeks a year. I don't think he travels quite that much. But I was traveling four states, and I wanted Salesman of the Year. There was about 31 guys, so it was a fair-sized challenge. I was fairly new in the company. And I'd go on a road trip for 3 weeks, and most of the guys would go out for about a week. And I'd actually stay out through. By God, I got it. I got Salesman of the Year, and it was quite a beautiful ceremony. It was a candlelit ceremony. It was a big deal. And I was very, very, very happy I got it. Somewhat years later, my next thing that I recall as I was putting this together was Acts 16:31 in relation to, which says, believe your whole household shall be saved. My kids were, not nightmares, but I could see they were kind of going there. And they were like 14 and, or 13 and 16, or 13 and 15. And we were pretty involved in the church, and they had a really good teen ministry. And there was a gentleman from Texas who came in by the name of Harold Woodson. Marty might remember him. And he said, you know, guys, if you'll go home, tie a ribbon around their picture, anoint it with oil, and when you walk by it, touch it and pray for it. Acts 16:31 will manifest in your home. And of course, this was the days of name it and claim it. So, you know, I was right in there. And by God, it worked. You know, within about a month or two or whatever, it was a very short period of time, both of them were saved. Both of them gave their hearts to God, to Jesus. And so that was something that was very, very meaningful to me. We wanted it, and in fact, it came true. Part of this word evolved out of a feeling about 4 or 5 months ago. I stood up here, and all I could say was, God wants us to want what he wants. So I said it 3 or 4 times, or maybe 3 times. And I didn't, it almost sounded cryptic because I didn't really know, I kind of knew what I meant, but this word really stems from that and also stems from a hazy vision I have had of a plateau and a mountain. And on that plateau, comfortably camped out was the body of Christ, just on the plateau. Now, plateaus are, topographically, I live on a plateau. I live in La Mesa. But the plateau that I saw was like a tabletop. It was flat. And the beautiful thing about a plateau like that is you have a 360-degree view. You can see everything, in contrast to going up a mountain, which I'm going to talk about. You can't see much. So the plateaus offer they're politically correct, they're safe. There's no risk. It's always 72 degrees on the plateau. It's very comfortable. It would seem as though we're in control to a certain extent. I mean, we can look around. We can get organized. We can build because it's flat. It's very easy to get along with. And the more I looked at this plateau, I thought, it seems like one could get lukewarm on that plateau. At 72 degrees, it was neither hot nor cold. And so that kind of, that scripture in Revelation 3:16 kind of went through there. The other thing that I was trying to think of, what created the mindset what was creating that environment for those people to stay on that plateau? And you know, one of the things that occurred to me is in our culture, being laid back, we've almost made a cultural idol. I mean, it's almost into idolatry. Yeah, I'm really laid. You're just laid back, man. And I think it permeates a portion of how we view life and how we view ourselves to a certain extent. I mean, you can't be in a culture and be surrounded by peers and that be a value and an idol in a culture and not somehow be affected. But in any event, I think along with the grace message, in some ways, I felt that maybe we were not seeking enough, not moving forward enough in the way. Matthew 7:7, let me read that. And if you want to go there, you're welcome to. It says, ask and will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and will be opened to you. Well, I looked up the word seek. And seek's defined as to go in search of, to strive for, to make an effort. And I just wondered, I was thinking as I saw this group camped out on this plateau, was that a scripture that they were necessarily aware of? Or if they were aware of it, were they just to get just way too comfortable? And we contrast that with Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:24. And let me go over there, and I'd like to read that. I'm going to read 26 also. Do you know that those who, this is 1 Corinthians 9:24, do you know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. 1 Corinthians 9:26, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Paul obviously was a motivated guy, and that was the thing that I was questioning about the tepid temperature of 72 degrees, neither hot nor cold. And I kind of started questioning. I said, why are we on this plateau? What are we afraid of? Are we afraid of closeness to God? Is sloth an issue? I mean, let's face it, sloth's one of the seven deadly sins. I mean, it's real easy to be lazy, and I don't like to say that in an accusing way either. Do we fear God too much? Do we fear that God would ask too much of us? I mean, we look again at Paul. He was beaten 3 times. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He was actually left for dead. He was imprisoned. Now, he had an incredible experience on the road to Damascus. Possibly none of us have had an experience like that yet, but maybe we will. But I started questioning my own resolutions, my own resolve. What are mine? What's my focus? And Matthew 17:21 says, some of these things, for example, getting my focus, getting my, you know, what God wants from me, can only come by prayer and fasting. I hate to fast. I mean, the only way I could ever fast before because I smoked, and I could smoke, and I wasn't hungry, but obviously I'm not doing that anymore. So, but by prayer and fasting, and Jesus said that, of course. The other thing that I'd like to talk about a little bit about here is Mount Sinai and the plateau. And they were there for a while. Moses went up the mountain, but I want to read Exodus 19. Because I never saw this before until I started working on this word. And I think you'll be surprised. But here they are. Picture, you've got, I think it's 3 million people. Is that including men and women and sheep and everybody? I'm not sure. But there's a lot of them. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now, mountains are really significant. And, you know, Christ is coming back, so you stand on Mount Zion. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. I mean, picture this. Come on. Man, I mean, this mountain's quaking. There's fire. There's smoke. I mean, I'd have run down the mountain and got in my car and left. I mean, I know it. I mean, I'm positive I would have. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded, because remember, there's all these people on this plateau. When the blast of the trumpet sounded long, it became louder and louder. Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Now, this is what's interesting. And I contrast with the body of Christ on the plateau, temperature being 72 degrees, no persecution, politically correct, everything safe. Okay. Here's the gang on the plateau, the Israelites on the plateau there. And the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people lest they break through to gaze at the Lord and many of them perish. They had enough guts. They had enough want. They really, really wanted to see God. That they were going to go through the earthquake, the fire, the smoke, the whole deal. And not only that, climb, which climbing is hard. Climbing is difficult. And particularly if we don't like heights, and I hate heights. Down in 24, Exodus 19, 24, then the Lord said to him, get down and then come up, you and Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them. Well, obviously the grace message, or the Christ hadn't died on the cross, so you couldn't get that close to God or you'd die. But I thought that was really interesting. They had all that desire and courage and want to see God, to literally risk their lives. Earthquakes, fire, smoke, the whole thing. You know, I thought about, you try to use the first person here. I thought about, why am I on a plateau? And I'm saved. I enjoy a modicum of morality. Most people can see some of my righteousness. I know some scriptures. I can pray. I speak Christianese. But am I growing, or just satisfying myself that I'm okay? That's the question. Am I just satisfying myself that I'm okay? I speak in tongues. I do this. I'm involved in an intercessory prayer group, et cetera, et cetera. And I tithe most of the time. I go to church, et cetera. But these are the things that I ask myself about being on the plateau. And talking about the mountain for a minute, the mountain, when we start going up the mountain and we're moving, we're moving toward God, creates passion. And again, remembering as kids, you know, we had that passion, we had that belief, we had that. In fact, the word, I didn't read it, but I think I will just for fun, because I want to go back to talking about being a kid just for a minute. Mark 10:15 says, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will not enter. God wants us to be kids again. He wants us to feel. He wants us to use our imaginations. He wants us to believe for bigger things than possibly that we've had. And he wants us to begin to look to the mountain, Lord, from the plateau, if perhaps we're on. I think I am on a plateau. Moses met God on the mountaintop, and I believe that's our destiny as well. I think that's where we're gonna meet God. We're gonna fully meet God, and the wanting John 14:11, I think, will be a reality for us. And I had to ask myself, how hungry am I, and how bad do I really want it? How bad do I really want to work for it? When I want to play basketball, I shoveled the snow off the driveway, got out there in 20-degree, maybe 15-degree weather, shooting baskets by myself at night. With gloves on, you know, whatever. I wanted that really bad. And Lord gives our Lord, I pray, Lord, give your body and future bride a hunger to be one with you. I truly pray that. That's my highest prayer I can offer, to be one with you. And I would call this spiritual consummation. And I believe this is what he wants us to want. As we ascend this mountain, I call it the mountain of transformation, we leave behind everything of ourselves. Can't climb a mountain with baggage. Doesn't work. You might have a little backpack, but... And I'm not a mountain climber. I hate... I'm not a climber. I don't like heights, so... I mean, I'm out on the whole climbing thing, you know. I mean, I saw the movie Cliffhanger with Sylvester Stallone, and that was enough for me. The steepness is too much. The topography doesn't allow it. And there's just, you can't climb with a whole bunch of baggage. We end up getting to the top, nameless, faceless, and selfless. There ain't nothing left of us. That's how God wants us. That's really how God wants us, is because at that point, he can fill us. He can fill us with what he wants. He knows best. I thought this was kind of interesting. In the Old Testament, if you saw his face, you died. You died, or if you even saw any part of him. In the New Testament, in order to see his face, one has to have died to oneself. So what's life like on the mountaintop? What's it going to be like if we really want it? And I believe when we look at at Matthew 7:7, I believe that ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and it will be opened to you. I don't think that's a random scripture. I think he really is inviting us to want things and to ask him for those things. I just don't think we've known maybe specifically what he wanted at a given point in time. And I think this is what he wants for this season. I think he wants John 14:11. What life on top of the mount, life on Mount Transformation, what will it be like? As I and the Father are one. I believe we'll feed the masses. I believe we'll walk on water. I believe we'll heal the sick, the lame, we'll deliver people from evil spirits. Jesus' ministry was healing and deliverance. That's really was a good big portion of his ministry. Millions will be saved. This is what life on the mountaintop will be like. Now, we're not going to have a lot of stuff. We're not going to have all our old baggage and stuff. That doesn't mean we won't have material things. But I mean, you know what I mean when I say just the baggage that we've been carrying around, we're not going to have. It's not going to be conducive. We're not going to have room. On a plateau, you've got an infinite amount of space, and it's all level. It's easy to get around. You can keep as much junk there as you want. On a mountaintop, you can't. It's just impossible. So I challenged myself. I said, is this possible? Well, interestingly enough, if you look, I'd like you to turn over to John 14:11. I'm almost finished. I know we got a potluck today. And I want to read John 14:11 just so you know that I'm not making it up. Okay. And what's really, really, really exciting about what I'm going to say is, at least to me anyway, is the next scripture is just a knockout. Believe me that I, this is 11, John 14:11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Okay, the whole crux of it is I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, and that's where I believe God wants to take us. What's John 14:12 say? Whoa. Most assuredly I say to you, who believes in me, the works that I do he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Very next verse after John 14:11, John 14:12. I've talked about that verse up here several times. And that always really excited me because it talks about life on the mountain. What are we going to do? We're going to heal millions. We're going to save millions. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Is this possible? Well, John 14:12 says so. Sounds like a whole lot of fun. And you know, we need to have a little more fun in the body of Christ. We really do. We need to chuckle, laugh, and just have a good time. What would it feel like to go out and heal and deliver people? Be pretty fun. Sounds like a whole lot of fun, don't you think? Well, I pray, let's go for it. And by the way, I'll leave you with a P.S. The last one up the mountain's a rotten egg. Thank you.